It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody listening to the show right now. Thank you to everybody who's been hanging out. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. Our producer, he's not here in Georgia. He is in New York City. His name is Ryan Botcher. We've had a busy day. I'm going to take a deep breath. Keenan Allen going back to the Los Angeles Chargers. Yeah, 1 year with the Bears, and now he's back into L.A. Yeah, the Chargers need the wide receiver help. You got guys just retiring out the blue. We got Jordan Addison. He's not retiring. The NFL has suspended him 3 games for that DUI last year. Speaking of Los Angeles, Kyron Williams gets a new contract with the Los Angeles Rams. James Cook, still no contract with the Buffalo Bills. Teddy Bridgewater is back in the NFL. He might have been suspended from coaching at his high school. He's going to be backing up Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield, he is back in action after bruising his hand. Congratulations to him. Man, we had some fights today at training camp. The Colts and Ravens are duking it out. Shedeur Sanders is going to get the first start of preseason for the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, everybody is either old, like Joe Flacco, or they're hurt. Congratulations to Shedeur. You got what you wanted. Make the most of it. Joe Burrow's going to play in the preseason because the Bengals have stunk out the gate. It's just a lot going on. Damn it, we got Hard Knocks tonight. Buffalo Bills edition, first episode. What a day this has been. Botcha, did I miss anything important?
Training camp fights.
I mentioned a training camp
fights. Other than that, not much.
Oh, smelling salts have been banned.
Smelly.
Yes, no, yes, smelly situation. Kittle hates it. Yeah, so we've talked about a lot. Hey, thank you so much as well to Matt Perino for joining us. A Buffalo Bills beat reporter. He came through to have a chat with us about James Cook deal, especially knowing that Kyron Williams got a new contract. So we have had a very busy show, especially given all the NFL news that has come down the pipe today. If you've missed a minute or a second of the show, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Thank you for listening live on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. This is news that broke about 30, 40 minutes ago. I mentioned this. Keenan Allen is back in Los Angeles. He's reconnecting with Justin Herbert after a year with the Chicago Bears. Initially, the Chargers had asked him to take a little bit of a pay cut. He said no. And so they moved him out to Chicago, where he had 7 touchdowns last year. So he spent the first 11 years of his career playing with the Chargers, and now he's back. Not too bad, especially after Mike Williams said, I ain't coming back, I'm retiring. And so this is going to be a fun receiving group when you think about Ladd McConkey and the rookie year that he had. Maybe that bum who always drops the passes out of TCU, he can get his life together. Quentin Johnson, I can't stand that guy. Botcha, you said you play fantasy. Do you ever pick that guy?
Never. He had a good 2-week, 3-week stretch where you could stream him into like maybe a flex spot, but it was bad.
He drops everything. Everything. Like, I'm not being a joke. I'm surprised he's still on the league. If he doesn't have a turnaround year, if he doesn't go over 1,000 yards receiving, I could see them like moving him out somewhere else. He is infuriating. Good luck to Quentin Johnson. Send him back to college. I'm being a jerk, but he's a pain in the ass because he's not reliable in that regard. And then speaking of reliable, I told you about Jordan Addison. Speaking of wide receivers, let's look into these wideouts real fast. Jordan Addison is going to be gone for the first 3 games of the regular season. This is related to his DUI from last season, where he fell asleep in his white Rolls Royce outside of LAX airport, which is one of the busiest airports in the damn country. What a place to fall asleep at. Listen to this report from CBS Sports.
Breaking NFL news. The NFL suspending Jordan Addison for the first three games of the season for a violation of the league's substance abuse policy from a year ago. He was arrested in July of 24 on suspicion of DUI after being found asleep in his car near LAX. Pleaded no contest to a lesser charge. So he's going to miss games against the Bears, Falcons, and Bengals if this holds up.
Okay. I'm sure it's going to hold up. And what happens? He just appeals and he only misses two games? So what? It's going to be tough for J.J. McCarthy anyway. It's one thing to get the ball to Justin Jefferson. You can expect Justin Jefferson's numbers to drop basically playing with a rookie quarterback. And even when J.J. McCarthy was in college, they didn't ask him, Harbaugh ain't ask him to go out there and throw the rock at every chance and opportunity he got. He handed the ball off. And so, yeah, God bless him. He had a year to rehab and a year to watch from the sidelines. It's going to be tough in Minnesota. What you got last year with Sam Darnold was a nice surprise. I'd be surprised if the Minnesota Vikings picked up 8 or 9 wins. I'd consider that to be a success. This is going to be a tough one, whether Jordan Addison is there or not. And he's definitely going to miss some time. Somebody who is going to get a chance and an opportunity, Shedeur Sanders. I mentioned it to you. Joe Flacco is old. They don't want him playing in the preseason game. And Kenny Pickett is coming off of a hamstring injury. And Dylan Gabriel went down. Enter Shedeur. Listen to this also from CBS.
This just in from the NFL, the Browns expected to start Shedeur Sanders at quarterback in their preseason opener against the Panthers, according to Cleveland.com. It's more out of necessity than anything. That's because most of their quarterbacks are hurt right now. Even Sanders has missed some time with a sore shoulder. He's been taking fourth string reps at training camp, but Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel have hamstring injuries, and Cleveland doesn't want to play 40-year-old Joe Flacco, who is likely going to be their starter when the season begins. So Sanders is reportedly going to get the nod to start on Friday night against Carolina.
This is going to be good. You wanted a reason to watch a preseason game. You got one. Go ahead. Tune in. Carolina Panthers, Cleveland Browns, Shedeur Sanders, who's rarely gotten any first team reps, barely none, is getting thrown feet first into the fire. And yes, so what? It's the Carolina Panthers. But this is a first-team defense that he's going to be playing up against. The Panthers had to be the worst defense in the entire NFL last season. They've added some help on the defensive line, even from the offense, nothing to do with Shedeur. But Bryce Young, he has some additional weapons that are now in to help him out, bringing in Hunter Renfrow, drafting McMillan out of Arizona. He got some weapons and help. And so, Shedeur, this is sink or swim time. And unfortunately for him, there's going to be overreactions either way. If he has a bad game, oh, this is why he fell. Oh, this is why people had concerns about drafting him in addition to his dad. And if he has a great game, people are just going to go, well, why is he starting over Flacco? Watch it. It can happen. Botcher, this is a coin flip. Like, I don't know. I guess he'll be average. There's no way to say.
It might be worse than a coin flip because I feel like there's like at least 6 different outcomes you can have from this one appearance. He can either be really bad. People are like, oh, cut him and get rid of him. He doesn't be in the league. He could be a superstar where they claim to start him. Or there's like in-betweens where it's like he's got promise and you should trade him to like more of like, hey, developmental through the year. So it really is just a major question mark, the entire team.
He is going to either be ripped to shreds or they're going to be like, well, why isn't he the backup? It's going to be one or the other. I think we're going to get the two extremes. Ironically, before we learn that he's going to start this preseason game, Shedeur, he spoke yesterday and he pretty much said what you can expect from him when he actually plays in a game. Listen to this. I don't know about it.
Have you watched me in college? Yeah. Well, you know, a little bit of that going on. I'm still the same guy, you know. nothing happened to me. I'm the same guy.
Oh, you could be the same guy, but you're in a different league. You ain't playing against no college students. You're playing against grown-ass men that are bigger, faster, and stronger than anything that you saw at Jackson State, that you saw in Colorado. Yeah, you're going to turn your back. There ain't no scramble in the backfield. They're going to have you on the ground. I'm rooting for him. I really am. I want a good story. Let's see what happens with Shador. He's going to get that start this week against the Carolina Panthers. That game is going to take place on Friday. Meanwhile, we got another game. Speaking of quarterbacks, another preseason matchup between the Colts and the Ravens. They're currently having a joint practice, and today they got a little chippy. I mean, not necessarily between Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson, but both the Colts and the Ravens, they got into a beef. Listen to Cam Bynum break down why they got into it.
Yeah, that's joint practice. We know no matter what, you can't get out of a joint practice without a fight. You got to stand up for your teammates, other people. Obviously, it's going to get chippy, especially during the special team phase. That's a staple in joint practice. Every time this is a special teams thing, it gets chippy. That's the dog mindset of special teams. So it's just one of those things. It's all love at the end of the day.
Yeah, one guy who doesn't have to worry about his job is Lamar Jackson. We know he's the starter. The Baltimore Ravens are basically his team. They built the whole damn team around him. Hey, Lamar, when the guys get to fighting, where the hell are you at?
I'm chilling. You know, I know the cameras be on all of us, so I can't really do too much, but I feel like our guys handle their own.
Yeah, spoken like a true quarterback. That's the last guy you want anywhere near any type of fight, beef, issue, or problem. And the Colts, man, they're fighting amongst each other. They're trying to figure out who their quarterback is going to be. They wrote it down on their unofficial depth chart that it is either Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones. Unless Anthony Richardson has taken a major leap, a major step forward, Daniel Jones, I would say, is more than likely going to be their starting quarterback for the majority of the season. But I will say this. When we get to the game on Thursday, Anthony Richardson is scheduled to get the start. Listen to head coach Shane Steichen give his plan for Thursday.
Anthony will start on Thursday. The plan is for him to play about a quarter and a half and then get Daniel about a half a quarter. In a perfect world, that's how I want it to play out. And then the following week against Green Bay, Daniel will start, get about a quarter and a half, and then Anthony will play about a half a quarter.
Yeah, nice way to yo-yo this situation in the preseason. And that's what the hell a preseason is for, right? Unfortunately for the Indianapolis Colts, they're probably going to have to do the same exact thing when we get to the regular season. Anthony Richardson here. Anthony Richardson gets hurt. Daniel Jones goes in. Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones, by the way, he's prone and apt to being hurt himself. And so there's no guarantee that, oh, Daniel Jones is the quarterback and that Anthony Richardson won't get a shot. This is going to be a miserable situation in Indianapolis. The running back, the guy who's not going to care, just guys, hand me the ball, don't turn the ball over. Jonathan Taylor, he was on Wish TV. This is what he had to say about watching these two guys trade snaps.
Number one, I think it's a huge advantage overall for our offense to have two guys that are kind of similar to one another. I know in the past we've kind of had kind of distinct play style quarterbacks, so game plan could change. But, you know, with us needing to lean on both of them throughout the year, I think that they've both been pushing each other. You know, Daniel make a play, then Anthony will make a play and vice versa. So I think that makes everyone better because now when the quarterback's making plays, it makes the receivers, the running back, the O-line, everyone want to do their job at a high level so that they continue to make those plays because we know, you know, that's who's going to lead this team. You know, the quarterback is going to lead this team. And we're all just going to do our small part to make each one of them better, but it's been a great competition.
Man, pick one. He can't say that, but damn, pick one. Both of those guys get hurt. They both turn the ball over. Match made in heaven. I feel bad for the Colts fans. It's just bad. And speaking of running backs, Jonathan Taylor, one of the highest paid running backs in the entire NFL. He's making, what, $14 million a season? Today we learned that Kyren Williams of the Los Angeles Rams, he got a contract extension. 3 years, $33 million. He's now the seventh highest paid running back in the entire game. Meanwhile, you got James Cook from the Buffalo Bills. He's looking for some major bread. He wants to make 15. Well, how you going to make 15? And you think about Kyren Williams. had the third most yards in the NFL the past 2 years behind Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. You going to get paid more than him? He might, but he's only making 11. You going to get to 15? I highly doubt that. Ian Rappaport, he was on the NFL Network, which, by the way, has now been acquired by ESPN. Ian Rappaport talked about how Kyren's contract can affect James Cook.
But I mentioned James Cook, and I think it's fair to say that every running back deal affects Cook. He is the one we have all been waiting on. He is now currently holding in for the Buffalo Bills, standing on business. You would hope that maybe this deal makes it easier for the Bills to get their deals done, but I'm not sure, because it seems to me James Cook is going to want more than $11 million per year. Publicly stated, he wants $15. We'll see if the two sides can come together to find a little bit of a happy medium, but at least
one big
running back deal gets done today.
Oh, everybody's going to get paid, okay? James Cook is going to get a new contract. Michael Parsons is going to get a deal. And now we got Jerry Jones going, I don't know if Micah's going to play in week one. I don't know. It's not a certainty. I don't know. Michael Parsons is going to get a contract. Trey Hendrickson is going to get a deal. Terry McLaurin is going to get a deal with the Commanders. Everybody beefing about their contract is going to get a new one. As simple as that. Botcher, do you think any of these guys are going anywhere?
I honestly think that the most likely player to be traded is Terry McLaurin. Just because they went out and got Deebo Samuel to play receiver, so maybe they can, in a weird way, talk themselves out of it and getting rid of him.
He is a completely different player. Deebo is a gadget guy. He's close to the line of scrimmage. Like, Terry McLaurin is out and go. And it would be foolish. It, of course, it's a possibility. I think he gets a contract and a deal. He's not going anywhere. I don't think so. I think they will all stay with their teams. All of them. We'll see. Training camps are heating up. We're now getting closer to the preseason games. Get to some more football, real football. We got the starters out there. Bengals are like, we're putting our starters out there. Panthers are putting their starters out there. Yeah, make these guys play some real football so we don't get that trash football, the turnover football, by the time September comes around, because nobody has played in a real game. Good stuff. Hey, good luck, Shador. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Of course, as we continue on with the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. I'm going to tell you about something, unfortunately, that took place last week that involved a mascot that almost got in the wilderness. Not a good thing. We got so much more to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, too. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Damn, what a day. Keenan Allen back with the Chargers. Shador Sanders going to get his first start in the preseason this Friday. Got Anthony Richardson going at it with Daniel Jones. Anthony Richardson will start their preseason game. NFL is banning smelling salts. George Kittle has lost his mind about that. Kyren Williams gets a contract. It's been a day. But I want to tell you about something that I saw early this morning that I'm looking at it going, oh, that could have been worse. It's a hockey story. Not even. It's a mascot story. Not even. It's a story about life and death. There was a video from last week, but it was widely circulated starting this morning, last night, yesterday, of the Seattle Kraken's mascot. They got a mascot. He's a troll. His name is Bowie. And of course, you're a troll. Your name is Bowie. You got a lot to do with the ocean. You got a lot to do with water. And shout outs to everybody in the Pacific Northwest. You know, it's a hop, skip, and a jump to go to Alaska. You get on a plane. Next thing you know, boom, you're in Anchorage in 3 hours. Not that difficult. Alaska is basically territory, sports-wise, for the Pacific Northwest. And so I would assume if you're in Alaska, you're a fan of the Mariners, the Kraken, and then also the Seahawks. Fine. Maybe you're also opining for the Supersonics to come back. And so the Seattle Kraken, new franchise, they're taking advantage of Alaska and that being their territory. No different than here in the South. It's the Braves. It's Braves country all over the South, not just in Atlanta or Georgia, Alabama, Florida. It's Braves country. Okay. Now, Bowie and the Kraken were filming a video for social media. They were fly fishing in Alaska. This is pretty bad. Until a real bear came out of the woods into the water and charged towards the mascot. This is all on video. This is scary. It is freakish. I want you to take a listen to this report from ABC.
Close call between a sea troll and a grizzly bear. Shockingly, this is not a joke, and it's actually kind of terrifying. So the sea troll is named Bowie, and he's the mascot for the Seattle Kraken hockey team. The team was fly fishing in Canada for a community outreach program when, look at that, a grizzly bear crashes the party, at one point charging Bowie. Now, one player blamed Bowie, saying the bear was very interested in his whole look.
Yeah, he's mascot is like 8 feet tall. He got blue hair. He's green and blue. He might be threatening to a bear. And they were standing right there with forward John Hayden. And so here you got a player. You got the film crew. And you got a giant freak in a costume. Or maybe you got a human being inside of a giant freak costume. And he's standing there, and a bear is now in the water. God bless him for all staying calm. Because if anybody would have ran, it would have been curtains for every single one of them. That bear, maybe it would have went for the mascot. Maybe the mascot would have had a chance with all the stuff on. The mascot was in the water, by the way. The mascot had on the full outfit to not get wet. Mascot outfits cost a lot of money, damn. As a matter of fact, here's the actual video.
While we were fishing, we had a pretty close call with a couple of bears. We got a bear.
Oh, I got to break you off. Okay. Hey, Sam, we got a bear. We got to move down.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I want to blame it on Bowie. They were pretty interested in his whole look. So we got out of it okay, but it was a close call.
That last little sprint, I was worried deeply.
Botcher, can you imagine you sign up to be a mascot? Well, I mean, I guess you're a dumbass, too. Like, you're in Alaska and you're fishing. Like, you're a dumbass. Like, am I wrong? Am I wrong for calling that person a dumbass?
The person in the mascot suit?
Yes.
No, it's your job. You're probably told, like, hey, you're going to be in the water for about, like, 10, 15 minutes. Going to film this quick video with a couple guys. It shouldn't be any issue. And then you're in your costume, and you see this bear. And at that point, you have to say, okay, am I going to break the facade of being a mascot here and start screaming and running for my life? Or be calm. And the mascot did the right job. He did his job and didn't say a word and calmly got out of the area.
Oh, come on. First of all, the mascot wasn't the only person there. God bless everybody for being calm. They saw the bear charged, and nobody ran like an idiot. They all calmly went away. Because if your ass starts running, now you look like prey. You look like something to be chased down and killed. God bless him. This could have been absolutely terrible. Now, on the other hand, what are you talking about? The mascot could have screamed. There's no screaming. been in no mascot uniform.
That's what I'm saying. He could have broke character, but didn't.
No, he
That's why
couldn't.
I applaud
he
him.
Could. He could not have. You're not breaking character in a mascot uniform. They're in the water. First of all, the mascot cannot scream. There's no noise to be heard. Nobody would hear it. That's number one. Number two, the mascot can only move but so fast in the first place. They're in the water. The last thing that was going to move fast would be a mascot. And so the mascot also did the right thing, turned around. But it's not like he or she or whoever the hell is in that outfit had too much of a chance anyway to do anything. So God bless them all. But there were few options for the mascot to do anything.
So you're telling me if you're in a life or death situation and you're a mascot, right? Like, you have to scream for help. You can't do it because you are said mascot.
Where is the screaming coming from?
I'm just saying, you have a bear, a grizzly bear. It's probably like 20 feet away, 25 feet away in the video. He didn't react, the person in this costume.
The person reacted like a human, just like the other 3 and 4 and 5 humans that were around him. They all looked at the bear. I'm sure they had a lot of thoughts in their brain. And they were all calm and smart enough to say, let's all calmly just turn the hell around. It's still a human being. Like, because the person's in a mascot, you know, maybe they were screaming inside, but what's screaming going to do? Nothing.
I don't know. If I saw a grizzly bear out in the wild, I think my brain would immediately go towards, I'm dead. And I'd say, this is it. I'm just going to scream for help. Maybe they'll find my body.
Oh, you want to kill everybody then? Good for you.
Well, I've never encountered a grizzly bear. I don't know. Isn't there like the rule where it's like grizzly bear or polar bear, you're dead? Is it one of them like you have to like play dead?
Polar bears actively go. They look at humans as prey. Yes, I've seen that before.
Yeah, that's like, I think it's like the black bear. You have to play dead. Grizzly bear slowly walk away.
Bruh.
And then polar bear, you're done.
I don't know because I ain't looking for no bears. All right. If I see a bear, I'm in the bear space. He's not in mine. I'm not actively looking for bears. All right. I've been to Alaska. I've been to Willow, Alaska. I have been to the middle of nowhere. I have been dog sledding and dog racing in the middle of nowhere. I've been to Alaska. The biggest animal I have ever seen in my life was on the side of a road in Alaska. It was a moose. And he was just minding his business. He was out there chilling. I've never seen anything that damn big in my life. I've seen a bull in India that might rival that. But, man, I don't know. There comes a point in time where you're just like, do I want to die? And I give them credit. I give all 4, 5, 6 of them credit. They saw the bear. They had the holy crap moment. And they were all calm enough to just move away. Nobody threw nothing at the bear. Nobody decided to run away from the... That's the worst thing you could do is run. Bacha, do you like dogs?
Yeah, but I'm not a dog compared to, like, you know, a 6-foot-something grizzly bear is not really comparison.
Well, no, but you've never seen an intimidating dog that would just... There are dogs out here that'll rip you to shreds. You never seen a pit bull or rat out here that'll kill somebody?
No, I have. It's just that usually I'm not as intimidated of those types of dogs compared to like wildlife.
I can't put it in a space in more comparison. You know, it's like, hey, if you're going to be around an animal, they know if you're there to be chased. Like, they understand if you need your ass whooped, if you're asking for it. I saw a video. Marco, did you see the video of the gorilla that punched that guy in the face?
I did not. I missed that one.
There's a photo. You know, these guys sit in the jungle and they want to take photos. Everybody wants to risk their life, okay? Mascots are jumping into the water. You know, we got people wanting to take pictures of gorillas. I'm not hanging out with no gorillas, okay? I don't need the picture that bad. But there's a guy. I'm gonna send it to you. Bacha, have you seen a photo?
I have not.
I'll send it to both of y'all. There's a guy in some jungle somewhere who caught the exact moment where a gorilla is swinging towards his face. And everybody is saying the gorilla has his bottom lip bit. He's cocking his hand back and he's getting ready to punch the guy. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's like they said, You're not supposed to look him in the eye. Like, why? Because if I look a gorilla in the eye, he thinks I want to fight. Like, no, I don't need the Mike Tyson-y. I don't need it. No. Come on.
You're talking to the wrong guy, man. I'm from the city. We had squirrels. I got my own problem with deer every night. Have I told you about this? I'm not messing with one. No.
Oh, no.
I have to walk. I do my little walk when I go home from here. So it's dark, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I used to walk at the track at the high school, local high school. They're redoing the track until September. So now I got to walk through my neighborhood. And there are deer everywhere, and it's pitch black.
Not messing with deer.
And I don't see anything, so I have to look straight down because all the sidewalks are all jacked. And every time I look up, it seems like 2 or 3 times a night, there are deer, like, right 2 feet away from me. I can almost reach them.
And they're stupid. They're stupid.
And they stare. And I'll tell you now.
The eyeballs, the lights.
And I've been asking everybody, and they're like, no, come on, deer run away. They don't want to. I had a deer a couple of days ago take those 3 jab steps at me, like he was coming at me.
Oh, yeah. Intimidated. Yeah.
No. I'm not. Yo, when the video comes out of some fat guy throwing hands with a deer, because if I run, you're going to hear pop, 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 pop. And those are my hamstrings and my Achilles.
You got to fight the deer.
So I got a better shot of throwing hands with a deer. I don't want to throw hands with a deer.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you're going to have 5 deer stomping you.
So now you got a picture of a gorilla punching somebody in the face. At some point, somebody's going to have a doorbell cam with some fat guy getting beat up by a deer. It's going to be me.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
Note taken.
And just know that I tried to avoid it. I don't want to mess with the deer.
Yeah. And listen, there are more animals. We encroach upon the animal space. We've been doing that forever. Like, we all got to live here, but we keep on building. And coyotes in Central Park. And that's why I'm not going to Alaska to jump in a stream. That's why I say the mascot is a dumbass. Okay. There is nothing in Alaska but wildlife, and they are all there to live. I ain't going near none of them, okay? Now that I think about it, it was probably a dumbass idea for me to be dog sledding in the lab. What am I doing? Come on, man. Now, if I would have saw a bear, I would have bleeped myself, okay?
Well, see, that's the one thing about the mascot that you don't know. You don't know if he soiled himself. That's
probably
the one. I mean, we keep saying, like, you know, he was calm. You don't know. You can't see. You can't tell.
He walked away calmly.
That's the trick. You know, you soil yourself and you jump right in. I mean, that's basically what it is. You have no choice.
I told Bocci he had no choice.
Right.
What is he going to do? Try to run away? He's going to fall face first into the water. Now he's really dead.
Mm-hmm. They left him behind. He was by
no,
far.
No, they didn't.
He was far away from everybody else in that video. He could have, like, face planted and he would have been done. And they would have never went back for him.
That's why he had to walk slow.
That was worse than slow. That was like snail pace.
That's probably a 5'8" person in an 8-foot tall costume. I mean, come on.
With a load in his pants. He ain't moving that fast.
In a river. I think we can all agree on this, like you said. If he would have fell in that water because he tried to speed up, curtains. He would have drowned in the mascot outfit. He would have got eaten alive, ripped to shreds. It'd have been horrific. Who okayed this in Seattle? Who okayed this?
I don't mean to laugh, but it's almost like if you would have saw the video where he gets mauled, your reaction would have been like, now who told your dumb ass to be
let's send Mr. Met into the Hudson, okay? he can go fishing for bodies. Like, that'll be the next video. What are we doing here? Let's send Harry the Hawk. Let's give him some real wings and see if he flies. Like, let's send the Phoenix Suns gorilla into the Congo. Like, what are we doing? Like, come on, man. We can't do this. Next thing you know, Tony the Tiger is going to be hanging out with the Tiger from LSU. This is whoever did. I know whatever marketing person did this in Seattle. You think they got yelled at? You think they all got yelled at, didn't they? Right.
I would hope so. I mean, what does it take to get yelled at? The guy's got to die first.
We sent our employees and 3 interns to go film a video in the river in Alaska. They almost got killed by a bear. Come on. What does Gary Bettman think of this? Does he care?
Brings attention to the Seattle Kraken.
That our guys almost died?
Yep.
Bring attention to HR is what that brings attention to.
I'd be coming back going, this is not what I signed up for. Come on, man.
I'm sure you signed that waiver before you left, though.
You think they made them sign a waiver? I doubt.
I guarantee you they made them sign a waiver.
No, I bet you they did.
We're sending your dumb ass in a mascot costume near bear. You signed a waiver before you leave.
That's why they're all in trouble. I know they are. It's stupid. God bless them. I'm happy that they're all alive and well. That could have been horrific. That could have been a totally different story. I'm happy they're fine. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And we're going to talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history on the other side of the break. But right now, it's a news flash with Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It's the end of the show. You know what that means? It's time for a few things that took place this day in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, shout outs to all my people in Pittsburgh. I love Pittsburgh. August 5th, 1921, KDKA, they broadcast the first major league game ever as the Pirates beat the Phillies 8-5 in Pittsburgh. I love KDKA because you get it on TV, you get it on the radio. Legendary. Shout outs to all my folks in Western Pennsylvania. August 5th, the year is 2006. Shout outs to this guy, Warren Moon. He becomes the first black quarterback to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That same class, you got Troy Aikman, John Madden, Rayfield Wright, Harry Carson, Reggie White. God bless. God rest the soul of Reggie White. Hey, listen to Warren Moon, always a great guest here on the JR Sport Brief Show. He talked about being a black quarterback in the NFL.
All of us did what we had to do to make the game a little bit better for the guys coming after us. And I only played this game not for just myself, not for just my teammates, but I always had that extra burden when I went out on that field that I had a responsibility to play the game for my people. And that extra burden I probably didn't need to go out on the field with, because I probably would have been a much better player if I didn't have that burden. But you know what? I carried that burden proudly.
Yeah, shout outs to Warren Moon. August 5th, 2007. Oh, this is ugly. Well, this wasn't ugly. The uniform was. Tom Glavine pitching for the New York Mets. He got his 3,000th win, an 8-3 victory over the Cubs. Listen to this, courtesy of MLB.
This should do it. Go tie. And that's 300 wins for Tom Glavine, the 23rd player in the history to do it. Only time will tell if he's the last to do it. But the night is his.
Shout out to Tom Glavine. August 5th, 2014. Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs, they add Becky Hammon, former WNBA star with the New York Liberty, as an assistant coach. She became the first woman to join an NBA coaching staff. Listen to this, Becky Hammon telling you about it.
I'm here to be a part of the team. I'm here to help these guys in any way possible, help the coaching staff in any way possible, and really just serve these guys and try to get the best out of them, motivate them, and I'm here to help them. I mean, it's really, when it gets down to it, it's about those guys out there. And, you know, kind of the mini team that you have as a coaching staff. You know, it's kind of a team within a team, the coaching staff. And so just whatever I can add to the group. I'm sure Pop will be yelling at me soon enough with the rest of them.
Yeah, now she coaches the Las Vegas Aces. And we've had a bunch more women who've been assistant coaches in the NBA. So a good thing. I know we got Lindsey Harding right now, I think, with the Lakers. And so good stuff. Also, August 5th, 2023, Tim Anderson, he got knocked down. I don't want to say out. He got knocked down by Jose Ramirez. There you have it. A few things that took place this day in sports history. August 5th, 2025, all day long. 888-710-4ISN. Jacob is calling from Louisville. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, guys. Appreciate my call.
Sure.
Super excited about it.
Thank you, man.
One of the things I was coming in on was about, y'all were talking about the Bears and stuff. And in Kentucky, man, my cousin, she is actually the best hunter of me and all my cousins and siblings. And she works for the Pennsylvania Wildlife Foundation or Force or whatever. You know, she'll arrest you if you mess up.
Right.
And so she has taught us all sorts of different stuff about how you handle bears and stuff like come across them. I think in Pennsylvania, she actually had the world record largest size black bear on her property, coincidentally, over in Pennsylvania. You have to check me on it, but it's about 750 or an 800-pound black bear. And that's about that's an abnormal size for a black bear. Black bears normally are going to be, even though they're intimidating because they're a bear, you can treat them more like a dog. So if they're, because they just want your, like, your scraps. They're not trying to come hunt you down. Yeah, they just want your scraps.
Yeah, this bear in Alaska was not a black bear. He was a brown bear. Yeah,
I get that 100%. Yeah, because I was on the same boat as it's like, if I see one, it's my last day for sure, right? Yeah. But she'll tell you no. She'll you know, swear up and down that, like, a black bear, as you were saying with the gorilla, you want to avoid eye contact, or with the grizzly, sorry. With the gorilla, you want to avoid eye contact, and with the grizzly, you want to, you stare them sons of guns down their eye, and you get big on them, and you better have a, you better have your mace on you and stuff, otherwise. But
you cook. Well, let me tell you this, Jacob. I ain't trying to see no grizzly bear. I don't want to see nothing, okay? I'm going to stay on the, what floor am I? I'm going to stay on the ninth floor in the middle of Atlanta, and I'm going to stay the hell out of trouble. Jacob, thank you for calling, man. We got to go.
Thank you for taking it. Have a good one, y'all.
You as well, brother. Thank you. Stay away from the bears. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The only bears I want to see, they're in Chicago, and I hope they don't move from downtown, okay? Anyway, thank you to Matt Perino for joining. Thank you for listening. Thank you to everybody. The JR Sport Brief Show will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. Not messing with the Bears. Thank you, Ryan Botcher. Thank you for listening.